How do you do? Life is full of unexpected events with unforeseen consequences, but each event has valuable lessons if we have understanding hearts. The man in this story, like most of us, had defining moments that changed the course of his life. But none was more vital to his understanding than the night his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
How's my wife?
No dilation yet. We don't know why the medication isn't working. The doctor has already broken her water.
Something's wrong. This is too long for her to be in labor.
We're going to do an ultrasound, Mr. Allport. Now you can sit by your wife if you like.
How are you doing, honey?
I just wish it was over.
It's going to be all right. I'm going to stay right here with you.
Doctor?
Now what? Just what we need. Looks like swollen ventricles. I'll be right back.
Is there something wrong with the baby?
You'll have to talk to your doctor, Mr. Allport.
This is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories that proclaim the good news, produced before a live audience by Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. To be homeless is to have doors slammed in your face, not just homes and businesses, but the doors of opportunity. And that's why Pacific Garden Mission has never closed its doors in more than 125 years. Men, women, and children, by the hundreds, find refuge at the old lighthouse thanks to friends whose financial gifts make it possible to offer food, warm bunks and clean clothing, even medical and dental treatment, all without charge to those in need. Counselors and pastors open yet another door to the homeless, one that leads to new life. And that's what Unshackled celebrates. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2725 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Mr. Allport, we think your baby may have hydrocephalus, also called water on the brain. Now, in the brain are four cavities where spinal fluid is stored on a daily basis. These cavities are called ventricles. Somehow a blockage occurred and the fluid didn't drain. With no place to go, the fluid expanded the brain, crushing it against the skull.
Oh, no. Is the baby going to live?
We can't promise anything. We do know the baby's head is too large for a normal delivery. We have to do a cesarean.
Until that morning, the man in this story anticipated a future that was bright with promise. He worked long hours for low wages and went to school as well. But one morning, everything changed. He faced agonizing decisions with consequences that would affect him for years. And he's telling his story to encourage others, the true story of Robert Allport right now on Unshackled.
I didn't realize it at the time, but my childhood prepared me for the stress my wife and I faced with the birth of our first child. For one thing, I myself had ear infections as a child that left me with only 40% of normal hearing in my left ear, which meant I didn't talk properly for years. After my tonsils and adenoids were removed at age 7, hearing in my right ear was normal. That's when Dad decided to get away from Philadelphia to farm in western New York near his siblings. I was 12 when he took up farming.
Did you feed the animals?
Yeah. I didn't feel good, but I did it.
Well, it don't matter if you're sick. Those animals are completely dependent on us, and we have to take care of them, rain or shine, sick or well. It's our job, and we do it.
You gonna teach me how to drive the tractor, Dad?
As soon as you're feeling better.
Oh, I'm feeling better now.
Good, then we can cut some hay.
Can I drive the tractor?
I'll drive the tractor. Now, your job is to stand on the front of the mower, and when it clogs up, you jump off and unclog it as soon as I stop the cutter. Now, don't forget, you don't want to stand too close to the rotating shaft.
I rode the mower, straddling the shaft that turned the sickle blade. One day, I had foolishly worn baggy pants and stood too close to the shaft. Suddenly, I felt a tugging at the bottom of my pants, ripping them down. I screamed, and instantly, Dad shut off the mower, saving my life in seconds. I would have been pulled into the blades. My character was shaped by the farm work, doing things even when I didn't feel like it. Caring for animals who didn't give much in return. I learned to finish every job I started. We only went to church twice a year, but my character was also shaped by a babysitter who got me started reading the Bible when I was in sixth grade. Since I had a required reading time in school, I took the Bible with me.
Bob, would you please come up here?
Yes, sir.
What are you reading there?
The Bible.
May I see it?
Sure.
Not an easy book to read or to understand.
No, sir. I don't understand most of it. But I started it, and I'm going to finish it.
How long have you been at it?
More than a year.
Well, that's commendable, Bob. Keep up the good work.
I finished the Bible within 2 years, never doubting that it was the Word of God. What I read seemed to have no impact on my life, so at age 15, sinning became easier and easier to do. My dad and his brothers drank beer and smoked marijuana, so I followed in their footsteps, and those of my friends with similar lifestyles. In high school, I went to the wrong places with the wrong people and did the wrong things. I drank and caroused, but graduated and took a job in a machine shop where I continued with the same lifestyle. We were young and rowdy, and some were merciless in their hazing of a young preacher who was just quitting the shop to pastor his church full time. A year later, he helped another man get a job in our shop. I thought I'd introduce myself. I'm Bob Allport.
Hi, Bob. I'm Steve. Did you work with Pastor Phillips when he was here?
No, but I heard all about him from the other guys. They really put it to him, I hear. But he held strong in his beliefs, and they respected him for it.
Praise God. So you're saved, Bob?
Well, I read the Bible all the way through.
That's good, but it's not the same as being saved.
What do you mean by that?
Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Are you a preacher, too?
I went to the same Bible college as Pastor Phillips, and I'll be assisting him here.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Steve. I watched Steve every day, watched how he handled himself around others. I noticed that he always carried his Bible and bowed his head and prayed before eating a meal. I noticed that he didn't cuss or swear and was careful with the words he used. Steve had something that I didn't have, and my life then was so desolate that I would go to talk to him on breaks or during lunch. Every question I asked, he answered with Bible verses.
No, Bob. All religious roads do not lead to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Well, what happens to the person who dies without Christ?
John chapter 3, verse 36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
I remember reading about the wrath of God in Revelation.
That'll happen during the tribulation. God will pour out his wrath upon all of us who haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation.
Okay.
But God poured out his wrath on Jesus at the cross. He took the penalty for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But everyone must make the choice to receive him personally as their Savior. You can't stand on the sidelines, Bob.
I'd like to talk to your pastor about these things sometime.
I can arrange that.
I didn't expect him to follow through because in my experience, most people usually didn't. But the very next day, Steve told me the pastor would meet me at his apartment that night. When I arrived, the pastor and another man from the church were there. Right away, Pastor Rod opened his Bible and explained salvation by grace, spending an hour going through the scriptures. Then he asked me if I would like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. No, not right now. I think I better be going.
We'll be praying for you, Bob.
Well, thanks. And I appreciate you guys taking the time to explain all this to me. I knew what I had heard was the truth. And as I sat in the car that night, I bowed my head over the steering wheel and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. It was April 1st, 1981, and I was 20 years old. I had been a fool for Satan, my sinful desires, and for the world. Now I would be a fool for Christ.
Morning, Bob. So what'd you do after you left us last night?
I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior.
Did you really? Praise God. Pastor Rod will be happy to hear that.
I feel so much better, Steve. I knew you guys were telling the truth. I just had to think about it some more.
You should start coming to church, Bob. You need the fellowship of other believers.
Are you sure they'd welcome a guy like me?
Oh, without a doubt. They'll welcome you with open arms, buddy. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
That church became a second home to me, and Steve kept teaching me at work, too, during lunch and break time. Several times he invited me to men's prayer meetings, and I finally decided to go. That's when I had an unusual run-in with the adversary.
Bob, we missed you at the prayer meeting last night. We were expecting you.
You know, I was tuning my radio and stopped on a secular station. I accidentally drove right past the house, and I was miles down the road before I realized it. By then it was too late, so I went home.
Bob, the enemy will never give up trying to discourage you. He uses every trick in the book.
Yeah, I know you're right, Steve.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let me give you some tapes to listen to.
My growth in the Lord was slow but steady after that. About a year later, Steve and I were both laid off from the shop and did odd jobs to make money. By then, I was dating Deb, and she went with me to Bible study where she, too, received salvation. Hello.
I tried to call earlier, but your sister said you were shoveling snow in somebody's driveway.
Yeah, what a job that was. 4 hours of back-breaking labor.
Ooh.
2 feet of snow, and some of it had turned to ice. And the lady was impossible to please.
Not worth it, huh?
Not really. But she gave me $20. I gave the money to Steve because he has kids to support.
Wow, that was really thoughtful of you, Bob.
It must be the Lord, Deb. The old me would have kept the money.
Are you still thinking of going to Bible college?
I think that's what the Lord wants me to do. That night, kneeling beside a chair in the living room, I poured my heart out to the Lord and surrendered to his call to go wherever he would send me. Not long after that, Deb and I were married, and I left with my bride for Pensacola, Florida. After changing a flat tire along the interstate, I stood for a brief moment as a feeling of foreboding swept over me. Sensing darkness, pain, and sadness ahead, I shrugged off the feeling by thinking, "The just shall live by faith."
Bob would need to depend on faith to get him through the pain and sadness he would never have imagined, as we'll hear in just a moment. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." One purpose of prayer is for our own needs as we struggle through life's problems, and we pray daily for the many needs here at Pacific Garden Mission. But we count it a privilege to pray for the needs of our listeners, too. So if you have some problem in your life, just write and tell us, and we'll join you in prayer, seeking God's will. We also have a prayer team scattered across the country that goes to the Lord on behalf of others. If you'd like to be part of that ministry, write and let us know when you would like to receive petitions, once a month or every 2 weeks. The Bible promises, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Send your prayer request or your desire to join our prayer team to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Deb and I had never been away from home before and had a lot to learn, but God was gracious. He helped us find a small 3-room house for $100 a month and a minimum wage job at a machine shop. The adjustment wasn't the easiest for me, but God was molding my character to better serve him. Then Deb became pregnant. In my heart, I feared having a handicapped child and prayed daily for a healthy baby. Then came the complications. While Deb had surgery, I prayed to the Lord. "Oh, Lord, why? Lord, I moved here to start a new life. going to Bible school. I tithe my income. I'm trying to be the best witness I can for you. Lord, I just don't understand why!
As I prayed, the image came to me of a potter molding a piece of clay, and I knew that he had a reason that I might never understand in this life.
Mr. Allport, please come to ICU.
Mr. Allport, your wife has toxemia, but we think she'll be fine in a few days.
My, I'll have to go see her right away. How's our baby? Is it a boy or a girl?
A girl. Her head doesn't seem that large. I've seen worse. Right after she was born, she went into an epileptic seizure. We had to put her on phenobarbital. She needs an operation right away to install a shunt.
A shunt? I haven't even seen her, and you're ready to take her to surgery?
It's urgent that we do the procedure right away. We cut through the skull into the brain cavity and install a tube to drain away the fluid. If we don't, her head will continue to grow.
That sounds risky.
There's a chance she could die on the operating table, but without the surgery, she'll have increasing brain damage.
Okay, Doc. Go ahead.
The agony that I experienced is more than words can express. I was escorted past the nursery with the normal babies to the nursery where our daughter was. Deb's parents and grandmother were visiting us, waiting for our baby's arrival. And my mother flew down to see her first grandchild. It was a devastating experience as I shared with them the condition of my wife and our daughter. Their presence was appreciated, but it didn't make it easier to accept what I had to face. That which I had feared had come upon me, a baby with a birth defect. Her head was 17 inches in circumference.
Hi, honey. Have you seen our baby?
Yes. She's beautiful, Deb.
Oh, they said I can't see her for a few days because of the toxemia.
She weighs 9 pounds and has red blonde hair and smooth skin.
I can't wait to hold her.
She has to have an operation, Deb, to drain the spinal fluid from her brain.
Oh, my poor little girl.
There's a poster on the wall downstairs, a silhouette of Jesus on the cross with the verse that says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." I'm hanging on to that, Deb.
2 weeks later, we brought Chrissy home from the hospital. As I watched Deb with her, there was no evidence of one with an abnormal baby, only of a mother who deeply loved her child. Chrissy's cry was a weak, whimpering moan, not the usual baby cry. Because she had always been fed through a feeding tube, she was unable to take a bottle, so Deb had to insert a tube down her little throat for every feeding. One day while I was at work, my wife frantically called me home and we rushed the baby to the hospital.
All of a sudden, she started to change color, Bob.
Yeah?
And then she had some kind of spasm. It started with her arm twitching and then her leg and then her whole body started to jerk. Oh, Lord, please, please, I hope we're not too late.
We'll make it, hon.
Oh, her eyes are so blank. Her color is so sickly.
We have to trust in the Lord.
Oh, I want my baby to live. I want her to live.
Our baby was having a grand mal seizure, one of many that grew increasingly severe. After a week of tests, we left with medication and a $3,000 medical bill. We had no health insurance, but we were told we qualified for state aid, so I had an interview with a social worker.
Mr. Allport, given your daughter's condition, you should have health insurance.
I agree, but I only make $4.50 an hour.
Can you economize somewhere?
We already live from paycheck to paycheck. We have no phone, no credit cards, no bank account, no savings, nothing. We can barely afford postal stamps. Even if I found an insurance company that would take my daughter, I couldn't afford the premiums.
So what are you doing about our medical needs now?
I pay a little at a time. It's all we can do. The doctors keep ordering all these expensive tests and medication, and they're not even sure it does any good.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
I had never faced those kinds of financial and emotional problems before. The burden lay heavy on my broken heart. Early on, I realized that no one could walk down the path with us except the Lord, even though our church family did their best. Once, as I walked the hallway of the hospital during one of Chrissy's stays, I went into the room of another baby. His condition was so much worse that I had to thank God for sparing us from the depth of that family's ordeal. When Chrissy was a year and a half, Deb and I drove back to New York for a much-needed break. Our 15-year-old car broke down on the way up and again on the way home.
Oh, what are we going to do, Bob?
I don't know, Deb. The jump start didn't work.
We're short on cash, aren't we?
Yes. We don't even have enough for a motel.
Oh.
Even though we have that check from your dad, nobody will cash it this time of night.
Oh, dear.
Maybe I'll go over to the gas pumps with these gospel tracks and see if anybody has any ideas. I can hand out the tracks if nothing else.
I'll be praying, Bob.
Excuse me, sir. Do you know of any auto parts stores nearby? No? Thanks anyway.
Bob!
Coming!
Now you folks need some help?
I think the starter is bad. We tried jumping it, but no luck.
Well, let's try a tow start. Well, that didn't work.
Thanks anyway.
Listen, it's too late to get your car fixed. Why don't you bring your family to my house? You can spend the night and get the car fixed in the morning.
Oh, you're a godsend.
That's really generous of you.
Now, you two can have our bedroom. My wife and I'll sleep in the den.
We really appreciate all you've done. Giving Chrissy those clothes and all, I don't know where we'd be if you hadn't stopped to help us.
Hey, I'm a truck driver myself. I've had a helping hand or two on the road.
We'll see you in the morning, then?
No, I have to get going early. But my wife will be glad to take you to get the parts you need. And she'll take you to our bank so you can cash your check, too.
We're very grateful to both of you. Thanks again. God had completely met our need, and we grew to trust him more and more. By the age of 2, Chrissy was able to get into a crawling position on hands and knees, but she still had seizures. Because medical doctors and medications had accomplished little, we decided to try a holistic doctor who put Chrissy on a special diet of fruits, vegetables, and juices. Her ear infections and fevers went away. She smiled and laughed, but didn't gain much weight. Then, the blow fell. A policeman came to the door and handed me a paper.
What is it, Bob?
I don't know. What? It's a summons, Deb. I don't believe it. We have to go to court.
Why?
We're being charged with medical negligence.
Negligence? Wow, that's crazy. We've never disobeyed a doctor's order.
We just haven't been going to the hospital as often because the holistic treatment is helping.
Oh, what do we do?
I don't scare easily, Deb. I'm going to see a lawyer. I'll never forget waiting outside the courtroom with my pastor beside me. I was reading Jeremiah chapter 15, where God says, "And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord." The proceeding began, but after a short time, I was told to wait outside again. After a while, my attorney emerged.
Bob, the state is backing down.
Thank God.
They don't have a case. It's pretty obvious that you and your wife are doing all you can for your daughter.
No thanks to them.
If you'll agree to let them send a third-party social worker to supervise Chrissy's treatment, a not-theirs-not-ours kind of person, they'll drop the case. But you'll have to continue seeing a medical doctor.
That's fine. I just want them to go their way and let me go mine.
Well, I don't think she has much time left down here anyway.
His words were prophetic. From the moment she was born, I had a sadness and belief that Chrissy had little time. She was sick more often, until one week Deb was at the doctor's office every day. The doctor diagnosed gastritis and prescribed some meds. I noticed that our little girl had trouble breathing. That evening, I went grocery shopping for Deb, who was again pregnant. But while I was shopping, I had a strong feeling that I needed to go back home. When I arrived, paramedics were pushing a gurney into our house. Our pastor and his wife were there. What happened, Deb?
Oh, Bob, I put her down for a nap, and then I laid down too because I was exhausted. She must have had a seizure while I was asleep. I checked on her as soon as I woke up, and she was already turning blue. I called 911, and then I called the pastor. Oh, she can't die, Bob. She can't.
Don't cry, honey. We'll have to trust God with her.
Oh, dear God, please save our little girl. Heal her, Lord. Nevertheless, she belongs to you, Lord. I surrender her into your care because we know you love her even more than we do. Oh, Lord, be glorified in this.
The next few days were some of the hardest that I have been through in my life. After many tests, the hospital told us that Chrissy had no brain activity at all. Every day I went in and looked at my daughter. She was kept alive on a respirator. I wept. I prayed, pouring my heart out to my Heavenly Father. The day came when her organs began shutting down, and we turned off the respirator. Our little girl went home to be with her Heavenly Father. Our grief and pain was horrific, but God comforted us, and we tried to return to a normal life. 6 months later, we were back in the same hospital as Deb went in for a cesarean delivery. This time, I stayed in the operating room with her.
Ready? Mm-hmm. Lift. Clean him up, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
Clamp.
Something's not right.
He swallowed some amniotic fluid. Clear his lungs.
He's not breathing.
Suction him off.
I'll take him to ICU.
I thought, dear Lord, not again. But our son Joshua was in ICU only a few days. He was normal and perfect, and today is a healthy teenager. A few years later, God gave us another daughter, also healthy. Deb and I often think about Chrissy and how God gave her to us for such a short time, yet taught us so much through her. Whatever you're going through may seem insurmountable and endless, but God has a purpose, and it's good. So, invite Jesus to go with you.
The Bible says in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Listening friend, you are that whosoever. Invite Christ into your heart and life right now. No special words, just a sincere cry of the heart. If you need counsel in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please visit our website at unshackled.org. This is program number 2725. Heard in the true story of Robert Allport were Kim Rasmussen, Mickey O'Donnell, Doug James, Trish Elliott, Jack Bivens, and Doug Dudley. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write and tell us you hear these true testimonies. The address, simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Discouraged? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.